Hello and welcome to Untangled Resolutions broadcast of The Problem is the Answer. I am your host, Batabi Levantombini, and I'm coming to you live from Harlem, USA. The information on today's show is essential for anyone who has credit or has ever had credit. Even if you pay your bills on time, you could find yourself caught up in a nightmare of dealing with debt collectors. My guest today is Cynthia Williamson, who found herself in such a situation. She has graciously agreed to share with us what she learned. You are listening to a piece called South, composed by Brandon Ross, and it is from his CD called Puppet. Stick around as everyone gathers. I'll be back in just a moment. Play my guitar inside the sheet. Hey, everybody. How are you doing? Welcome to the show. I am so glad that you chose to join us today. We are talking with Cynthia Williamson here about dealing with debt collectors. And this is a show that's really important for anyone who has credit, who's thinking about getting credit, who's ever had credit. Even if you pay your bills on time, you're going to want to listen to this show because there are all kinds of things that can happen to you, even if you're doing all of the right things. You were listening to Brandon Ross, and the song was called South from his album Puppet. And I'm glad that you had a chance to hear that, and I hope you enjoyed it. I want to introduce you to Cynthia, and she's actually here in the studio with me, which is a first for the show. I'm feeling the vibe here, having her sitting right next to me instead of having her on the phone, and it's something that I think we're going to try to do some more of in the future. But go ahead and say hello, Cynthia.
Hello, Cynthia.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
Hello, everyone. Hello.
I'm so glad that you are here with me and that you also agreed to tell this story. You know, a few months ago, we were chatting, and you told me about this saga, this ordeal that you went through when you started, I guess, when you decided to check your credit record one day. So what happened?
Well, I would have to say it was at least now between 5 and 7 years ago when I was looking at my credit report because I had had identity theft before. So I tried to make a habit of checking it as often as possible. And because I knew that I wanted to move forward and probably purchase a home at some point or do something pretty big, I stayed on top of it and found a lot of incorrect information on my report. And when it came time to really have those things corrected or removed, the saga began. Some things were removed very quickly, very easily, and other things that were not even true took a lot longer to remove. And it was quite something to deal with. It was something to deal with.
So you said that some of the things were removed quickly and just seemed to kind of go away. You made the phone call, said it was incorrect.
Right.
They removed the information from your credit report.
Right. At the time, at that time, you weren't able to actually go online like you can now and just put in a dispute. Back then, you actually had to write a letter. So I got the address. I wrote a letter. I said, this is not true. Could you please check into it and have it removed from my report? It was as simple as that. After you do that, they sent something back to you and said, okay, it's been removed and here's your new report. That was easy. There were other things that I said again, this is not my debt, please have it removed, and so on and so on. But then they said, sorry, the agency says that it is your debt. We checked, and they said it belongs to you. If you want to move on further with this, you have to talk directly with them, or, you know, they at least led you. They gave you kind of breadcrumbs on where to go and what to do. Now, I'm so glad it's much easier. You can actually do it on the website of TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax. You can just fill out the form right there, print it out and fill it out, or just put in input. You'll see like a form, an online form, where you can just click the choices. This is not my debt. This is incorrect. This is already paid off. It's a lot better now. It's a lot easier to report it and dispute it, but not necessarily to have it removed.
Right, because one of the things you're saying was that you were able to talk with the credit agencies, Equifax, TransUnion, and so forth, and let them know that, you know, you were disputing the debt, and where they were able to work with the agency mm-hmm. that was reporting the debt to Equifax and TransUnion and so forth,
right,
where they agreed, they took it off. But if they did not agree to take it off, mm-hmm. then what happened?
What happens is the item stays on your report, whether it's true or not. The credit reporting agencies are not required to investigate enough whether or not the credit reporting agency, rather the collection agency, is lying or telling the truth. Even if the collection agency says, yeah, she still owes this money or he still owes this money, then the credit reporting agency just says, okay, well, then it has to stay on.
So you're working with two levels of organization. You've got mm-hmm. the credit reporting agency, which is the TransUnion, Equifax, and so
Experian.
Forth, and Experian.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got collection. The debt collection agency,
yes.
And that's a whole nother kettle of fish.
Yes. And if, you know, just like people, some collection agencies are reputable. They will investigate and find out whether or not what they have on you is truth or fiction, and they'll take care of it. And then there are other ones who are just out to get a buck, and they're going to leave it on there until you just get so frustrated that you just pay it, whether you truly owed it or not.
So what happened then when you encountered the particular bills or reports on your credit report that the reporting agency said, you know, the collection agency is not agreeing to take it off?
Well, once I put in a claim and a dispute, and there was this one particular debt collector, Calvary Portfolio Services, that claimed that I owed them $100 for an AT&T wireless bill that I had never paid. And of course, this raised a red flag for me because I'd never had AT&T wireless. So I knew that it was incorrect, but it comes down to proving it just like anywhere else.
So wait, not only had you, did you say you didn't owe the money?
Mm-hmm.
You'd never had an account.
Didn't even have an AT&T wireless account at that time, at any time before then. I actually called AT&T Wireless to say, you know what, did I forget something? Did I have an account with you? Did something get switched over? Did I have a regular home phone account with you that got switched over to your wireless account department? And they said, well, you know, let me have your Social Security number. And I started to tell them, and I didn't even have to complete it. And they said, well, no, there's nothing coming up under those numbers so far. And I said, can you please, you know, check again, check one more time. She said, miss, if your Social Security number is not bringing up an account, you never had an account. And I said, could you do me a favor and just check by my name? They checked by my name, and once again, no account. And I said, okay, do you mind, you know, if I explain something that's happening to me and I really, you know, I may need your help. And I told them what was happening, that this debt collector was claiming that I had this old bill with you and I wanted off my report, and they refused to remove it. And they said, well, you never had it. And I said, well, could you write me a letter stating that I never had an account with you? And they said, oh, no, we can't do that. And I said, well, is there something, what can I do? If you're telling me and you know that I didn't have this account and I know that I didn't have this account, how do we get to this debt collector, or at least the credit reporting agency, to let them know that I never had an account? There is no way to do this. I really was basically on my own. I had to just fight it and fight it and fight it. If you're on a time frame or a time schedule, that's really hard, especially for people. Like I said, if you're in the middle of purchasing a home or a car or something like this, some people actually kind of just give in and pay this bill just to get it off their report. And that's what the debt collectors, at least these types of debt collectors, are counting on. it wasn't something that I was going to do because $100 or $2, I did not have this account. I do not owe you this money. You are not getting it from me. I'm willing to fight. And on, I just kept putting in the dispute until finally it fell off.
But let me back up just a second there, because it is important to make a distinction between more reputable debt collectors. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not here to flog all debt collectors.
Absolutely not.
But there are those that you can run into mm-hmm. that are dealing in questionable ways.
Questionable is a good way to put it.
Okay. So tell me a little bit more about what you mean when you said that it fell off.
I can't say that I know exactly why they ended up finally taking it off my credit report. I just happen to believe that because I kept disputing it over and over, I put in a dispute and it came back as saying, no, they say you still owe it. And a couple of months later, I put in a dispute again, and I just continued to put in a dispute until maybe they just got fed up and said, you know what, something, we're tired of this, we're tired of the back and forth, something has to happen, and they took it off.
Well, I mean, at some point, it's $100.
It is $100.
They must have paid more to have people continue to deal with this situation than that $100 that they could have collected. Wait, do you have an idea of why they would be so persistent?
Well, I'm thinking that I think I told you before that there are some agencies that collect something called zombie debt, where they basically buy your debt for pennies on the dollar, and it might not even be current debt. It could be debt that's 15, 20, 25 years old. They bought it at $10, and they're going to put it on your report for $50 or $100 because no matter what, they're still making money, more than 100%. Back on their investment of purchasing your old or zombie debt. So most people, when you look at your credit report and you see something like you owe $10,000, $25,000, $80,000, or even $5,000, that's something that they choose to take care of, or you know, they want to negotiate it. But when you see something like $50 or $100, you think that you can just take care of it right away with no question. Just to get it off. And that's what I believe this company was counting on with me. They said, oh, look, she's cleaning up her report. She's getting everything off of here. It's $100. She's not going to dispute it. She wants her report clean. She's just going to give up the $100 because it's a small amount of money. They didn't, you know, I don't think they understood who they were dealing with at the time because I was not about, like I said, give them anything because I'm aware of the accounts that I open, and AT&T Wireless was never one of them. I always feel like, you know, this is my identity. This is my reputation. You have to own it. You have to protect it. You have to defend it. And you have to educate yourself about it. And if you don't, then these types of companies will be able to just run right all over you. You'll give up your $100. Even if it is $100, if it's $2, it's mine. It belongs to me, and you can't have it. And I'd rather fight you for my reputation and my money. You're not allowed to have it at all.
Well, what I understand from your story is that it wasn't just this $100 AT&T wireless account that was an issue. Mm-hmm. Things sort of snowballed mm-hmm. with your credit report in general. So what happened with other creditors once you discovered that you had this issue?
Well, there were other creditors where the information didn't belong to me at all that were easier. These guys took it off because it didn't belong to me. It belonged to possibly my sister. You know, one of the things that people have to look out for is because sometimes you and your siblings share a social security number that's actually very similar. Your information may get mixed up. And it was something that I experienced, but that was easier to handle. There was another, I think it was a credit card company that I knew I did owe some money to these people. And I said, oh, wow, I didn't even know that was on there. Let me just give them a call and take care of it. And I called them and we talked, we made an agreement, and I said, no problem, I'll take care of it. When I hung up the phone the next day, everything had gone haywire. I think they froze my accounts. And that was such a shock to me. I called them back and said, what is this? I was about to send you account, you know, a bank check for this, and you just had my account frozen. And then the representative was extremely nasty and was like, look, you're not going to send us anything. We're just going to take it. And I was stunned. I was like, what do you mean you're going to take it? Either way, you were going to get your money. What's the big deal? But I will say that it ended up working in my favor because at first, of course, I was ticked off, pissed off. And because I'd already gone through a situation, I knew that I could just let them freeze my account for 6 years, or, you know, or let the amount go on for 6 years, and then I would never even owe it. But I really just wanted everything to be over and done with. And I talked with a few friends who also had a similar experience, and I said, you know, what is it that they're doing? You know, I told them that I would give them the money, and they turn around and they do this. This is a disruption to my life when I only wanted to do the right thing. And when I sat and talked, and they were like, listen, call them back and say, you know what, I don't have it. And I was like, well, what good would that do? But I do have it. And I told them that, and she said, just call them up and tell them that you just don't have it. And I said, okay, no problem. I'll listen. I'll obey. And that's exactly what I did. I called them up and said, look, I just don't have it. And they said, oh, well, okay, well, how much do you have? And I was like, well, how much do you want? And they said, well, we want this amount. And I said, I don't have that either. And they said, well, how about this amount? And I said, well, how about this amount? This is what I have. This is what I can send you. And I could send that out to you today. Otherwise, you know, forget it. And of course, they said, someone said, hold on for a second. Let me just talk to my supervisor. They spoke to the supervisor and they came back and they said, all right, we'll take it. And I said, no problem. I'll be sending it out right away. And lo and behold, everything was much better. Everything worked out. But it boggled my mind that you turned around and you actually made it worse for yourself because I was ready to give you the full amount.
So they ended up accepting less.
They accepted much less. It worked out in my favor, although it still bugged me a little bit that after they took the levy off my account, they took a $100 administrative fee directly out of my account. And I was like, what? It was a journey. I can just say that.
Well, I mean, it sounds really surreal, actually, because mm-hmm. you're talking about a situation, like you said, it makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
You're ready to send out the full amount.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like they just were not prepared for kind of a situation like that. Maybe they're used to dealing with people who come in and negotiate. They're expecting you to negotiate,
mm-hmm.
and that's how their systems are set up. So when you called back and you negotiated, now all of a sudden, okay, this is language we understand.
Yes.
This is a process we understand.
Yeah, everybody was nice. Everybody was nice when I said, you know what, now I'm not going to give you the amount that you say I owe. I don't have it. Let's negotiate. It worked out, like I said, in my favor and not necessarily in theirs. But I think that sometimes it seems like they respond best to either the negotiation process or the threatening process where they get some people who don't know their rights. They don't know how to handle the situation. And they can just talk to you in your own kind of way. I'm sure you've heard some of the horror stories where these agencies will call you up and they'll curse you out and they threaten you and they threaten your family and they say any kind of thing. You end up terrified and afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And you end up giving them what they want. But no, don't. Negotiate.
And you're leading into what I want us to talk about when we come back from a break. We're going to take a quick break and then we're going to talk about what are your rights
mm-hmm.
and what kind of backup can a person who is in that kind of situation
mm-hmm.
get? And where can you get this backup from? And we'll talk a bit about what it is that credit agencies sometimes do
mm-hmm.
to pressure people
mm-hmm.
into giving up the money.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be back in just a moment. I'm going to play a piece for you by Faye Victor, performed by Faye Victor and Anders Nilsson, who are the Exposed Blues duo. And the song is called If You Don't Give Me Just What I Want. And I thought that the song would be appropriate, considering that we're going to be talking about how sometimes people can get threatened by credit agencies who are looking for money. So if you don't give me just what I want, mama knows what to bill. Okay. Be back in just a moment.
Thank you. just what I want. Mama knows just who will. You don't give me just what I want, then I know who will. Woke up this morning about a half past four, found a woman running out my man's back door. You don't give me just what I want, baby, then I know who will. I mean, baby, then I know who will. You don't give me just what I want, mama knows just who will. You don't give me just what I want, then I know who will. Ashes to ashes, sand to sand, show me a man ain't got a back door, girl. You don't give me just what I want, baby, then I know who will. I mean, baby, then I know who will. If you don't give me just what I want, mama knows just who will. You don't give me just what I want, then I know who will. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, show me a guy that a woman can trust. You don't give me just what I want, baby, then I know who will. I mean, baby, then I know who will.
Everybody, thank you for being here today and for listening to the show. You have been listening to Faye Victor and Anders Nilsson. They are the Exposed Blues Duo, and the song is called If You Don't Give Me Just What I Want. And we are talking about credits and debt collectors.
Yes, yes.
Who might say that if you don't give me just what I want.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
We're going to come to your house. We're going to repossess your car. We're going to call your job and make you lose your job. I mean, they can be vicious.
Okay.
Absolutely vicious.
Okay.
Now, I've never had this experience at all, but I have heard stories about how vicious they can be. And I'm sure if you watch the news, you've heard it on the news too, how some people felt so horribly threatened that they actually had to call the police because, you know, people are saying that they're coming to, you know, if someone said they're coming to my house, me personally, I said, well, just, okay, meet me here. But that's just my
that's
attitude.
You. Right. Because, you know,
right.
You don't mess with a girl from Brooklyn.
No, I'm from Hell's Kitchen.
Oh,
I'm from the kitchen, but we won't tell everybody all of that.
Okay.
Know, I don't need any visitors. Thank you very much. But
whatever the case is, we don't mess with Cynthia.
Well, no, not when it comes to that. Please don't show up to my house.
Yeah. And I mean, it sounds like you had some background. You talked about in the very beginning, in the first segment,
mm-hmm.
that you were vigilant about your credit and you discovered this AT&T bill because you had continuously been looking at credit because you'd experienced identity theft before.
I had, and not only was I vigilant, I'm still vigilant about my credit report. I check it 3 times a year for free. But one of the first things when I actually, I lost, I think, all of my ID years ago when I was moving from one state to another. And the experience of just trying to get all of my ID back was, it was insane. All the letters that I had to write, because I had no ID, how was I going to prove who I was? The only thing that I had was my birth certificate, and that's not one of the things that you can use to prove who you are.
Really?
Really, because...
Well, there's no picture.
There's no picture, but how was I, you know, I had no Social Security card, I had no passport, I had no driver's license, everything was gone. So when you write to an agency, identification agency, to try to get new ID, you have to prove who you are with other ID.
And if you have none?
If you have none, it's hell. I can really say that it was hell. One of the One of the final things that I had to do, which was hilarious, was I had to bring my mother with me.
Oh, no.
She had to prove who she was. She brought her ID. I had to bring my mom to, I forgot where it was, but she showed who she was, and she had to vouch that
she had actually given birth to you.
Right, that she knew me, that I was her daughter, and I am Cynthia Williamson. And I think even after that, there was still a problem, which was, you know, of course I teased my mom about it. I said, Mom, see, you could just tell me, you could have told me that I wasn't your child, you know. Please tell me who my real family is. Could you stop it, you know? But that's a whole other thing.
So she had to sign an affidavit or swear.
She really
swear
did.
An affidavit.
She had to swear.
Saying that you are who you are.
Yes. Absolutely. She had to swear that I am who I am. And it took, I have to say that it took almost 2 years for me to get my ID back. And then by the time that I did get my ID back, there was all of this stuff on there. Apparently I had owned property on York Avenue in New York City, and I owned property in New Jersey and all this other stuff. And I was like, when did I own property? I don't own any property. And I think at one point I got a letter stating that I owed, I don't know, maybe like $1 million in taxes for this property.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, okay, I don't own any
property. I mean, it would be great. You know what I'm saying? If you actually had the property to own owe $1 million in taxes.
Well, you know what? That was the approach that I actually took, because when I forgot the number that was on this piece of paper, and I called them up and I said, no, I don't owe this. This is a mistake. You have to take this off. And they were like, well, no, something had been taken out in my name. Maybe it was a mortgage or whatever it was taken out in my name. And I said, but this is not true. And they knew it. This was the funny thing. They knew it, that clearly I did not own this property, and they knew that something was a little fishy
about it.
Well,
how did they know?
Well, I'm not sure how that works, but if the people, I don't know, I don't think it was the IRS, but it was like a bank or a mortgage company. They knew that I was not the person that had signed this paperwork.
Okay.
At that time, I'm sure I was about 22. I sounded a lot younger, and they knew who they dealt with. But
okay,
they were on the line for this money, these taxes, these other things. So they don't care that this person who used my identity is gone with the money. They're gone. They can't catch them.
But
so
they can catch, they have
they,
you.
They have me, so they can take it from me if they choose to. But my approach was, okay, well, listen, I owe this money, according to you, give me the deed.
Oh, that's beautiful.
If I have the mortgage, if I own this mortgage, give me the deed. I love the neighborhood. I'm bringing me and my whole family over.
Oh, that's wonderful.
This was, you know, a very rich neighborhood on
right.
York Avenue, I
right.
think like in the 60s or something
okay.
like that, 60-something street, and I was aware of the neighborhood because I went to school over there. And I said, great, give me the deed. And you know what? I'll sell the property and I'll give you your money and I'll make a profit on top of it. And I think probably within a month, that thing was so cleared up. It was, Miss, don't you worry about a thing. We clarified it.
I want the deed.
Yes.
I would insist on the deed.
I want the deed. I want all the paperwork connected with this property. Since you have me down as the owner, then I own it. That's correct. You said I own it, right? Then it belongs to me. I'm going over there tomorrow, and I'm moving in.
I'm gonna rock up in my house.
Yes, I'm moving in. I'm letting everybody in there know that this is my house. Get out. And
oh,
in less than a month, everything was cleared up. I mean, I would not have wanted the trouble.
Right.
But I'm glad that approach worked.
Sure.
That's just by the grace of God that it worked.
Sure.
But it did.
Right.
And I didn't have that issue after that.
Right.
After that, like I said, it was very simple things that were easily investigated, easily taken off, easily just taken care of. And I was happy again. I was just happy to have all my ID with me.
Right.
You know, I was finally a person again within the United States.
You know what? I know how that goes because I've had that situation recently where, you know, for several weeks.
That's right.
I was not a person.
Right. And even my mother couldn't prove that I was.
That's just great. That is just fantastic. You know, you said something that is really important. And it's true, you know, here I'm not talking to you as an expert.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking to you about your situation.
Yes.
And so in a sense, you're a layperson expert because you've been through it and we're talking about what you did.
Right.
So it's not as though you're sitting here as an expert advising people. But
no.
You're giving information.
Right. I'm just telling my story and I'm telling how I handled it. And even the way that I handled it may not be the way you should handle it.
Right.
Every situation is different.
Right.
But
one thing that you said that I think is really important was that you didn't just cave in and say, oh, my gosh, they must be right.
Mm.
You said, show me the money, basically. Give me the deed.
Absolutely.
Give me the proof.
Absolutely. Especially after, you know what, after it took that long to finally get my ID, you feel very protective of your identity.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the things that went through my mind was, wow, if I'm nobody for this span of time for these 2 years, the person that actually has my identity, what are they doing?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Even if they're not creating debt for me, what are they doing with my reputation?
Right.
What are they doing with my identity? You know, do I own a brothel? Am I a madam? Or, you know, do I own a bank? Good or bad, when someone else has control of your identity, it works against you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, eventually, when you take control back, you can use certain things to your advantage. But I would never want to be in that position again where I'm not the one that's managing who I am. And, I can't say enough about it's your identity. Own it. Manage it. Defend it.
Prevention is where we want to go. It's important for people to know about the resources we're going to be talking about that can help you if you are in trouble, if you find yourself dealing with a situation like yours.
Right. But the reason why I was so adamant about not paying that bill as small as it was because I wasn't about to allow someone to tell me that I did something that I did not do.
Mm-hmm.
I did not have an AT&T wireless account. I do not owe you $100. You will not take my $100. You know, like I said, I know we're laughing because like if it's $100, Cynthia, pay them the $100 and get it off your report already. Oh my goodness, that picture.
We're having fun. I have to let you know what's going on here. So we have another friend here in the studio who's helping us out with sort of recording what's going on here.
Yes.
And so he's taking pictures and he just showed Cynthia a picture of her speaking so passionately.
Yes, I didn't realize I was that angry.
But
the picture really said like 1,000 things. I am really angry about
we're
this.
We're going to try to get that picture up on the blog. And as a matter of fact, let me take just a second to let folks know about this. You are listening to Untangled Resolutions presentation of The Problem is the Answer. And this is a weekly show that comes on at 5 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on blogtalkradio.com, which is where you're probably listening to the show. And it's a show about the social and financial issues that concern you most or should concern you most, like the one that we're talking about today. And I am Batavi Lemtombini. I'm the host of the show, and I'm a relationship coach and divorce mediator, and I broadcast live from Harlem here in the United States. So those of you who are listening from abroad, I'm really glad to welcome you to the show as well. Untangled Resolutions is a private practice in relationship and divorce mediation. If ending a relationship is your healthiest choice, I can help you transition to a new relationship without losing your shirt or your mind. For more information about that, visit my website at www.123untangled.com. Now, there's more information that is related to the show specifically, and that is that we have a blog. And so the information that we will be sharing with you today, if it's a matter of links to websites or books, we'll be talking about that in a little bit. You can go to www.untangledresolutions.blogspot.com. I know that sounds a little bit chunky, so I suggest that once you get there, you bookmark the page, follow the blog, become a follower so I know that you are there and I can send you information about upcoming shows and so forth. But you want to go to www.untangledresolutions, that's all one word, .blogspot.com. Right, so that is how you can go and get some of the information that we're going to be talking about, or all of the information. I'm going to be thorough for you and make sure that you have the information there. And then you can see the pictures that we are having taken while we are recording the show. So
they really are great.
Our lovely studio and our passionate facial expressions.
Yes.
I really am not, I'm not looking forward to this, but full disclosure.
We are photogenic. Let's just say that. We're very photogenic.
We are beautiful.
The expressions. Oh, my God.
All right. We're going to take another quick break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about these remaining issues, what specific websites people can visit,
definitely
resources, books,
attitude,
and that kind of thing.
Change your attitude about your debt.
Exactly. So we're going to play a piece by Mark Taylor from his CD Quiet Land. Mark is a jazz French horn player, which is something that's really unusual. I mean, people who play French horn to begin with are unusual, and jazz French horn, I think there are like 5 people in the country who play jazz French horn. I'm playing this song today, and it's called Kennebrew's Dance. The piece that I'm going to play is called Kennebrew's Dance, and I'm playing it in honor of Mark's birthday. It turns out that today is Mark's birthday, and so I'm going to play this piece for you. We'll be back in just a moment. Thank you. right, everybody, we're back from our break. And again, happy birthday to Mark Taylor. That song or piece was called Kennebrew's Dance. He wrote it for his daughter, Kennebrew, of course, from his CD, Quiet Land. All right, so I'm here with Cynthia Williamston, who is sharing with us how she battled debt collectors and won. And we're going to talk now a bit about resources and about how you can do what she did in terms of working with a situation where you have people coming after you for your debt. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that seems really important, Cynthia, is confidence.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, I think because of what happened to me at such a young age, in, you know, at 20, being unable to really have an identity and having someone else take it over and do something else with it, it made me really adamant about protecting it. So whenever someone says, this is what you did, and I know that I didn't, I'm going to say no way, because it affects so much. When I wanted to purchase a home, or if I wanted to do something else, it, you know, the bank can say, no, this has to be removed, or with this on here, they're not going to be happy. So if I want to move forward in certain areas of my life, I realize how important it is to really, like I said, check the report and be adamant about saying, no, you're not getting this. You need to check your records. I'm fighting this to the death. And the death of that debt, and not on my end.
Right. And here's something else I think is important for people to know, and it has to do with the credit reporting agencies.
Yes.
So you mentioned that you'd call each of the agencies. If one of them took the issue off, you know, when you had contested and said, you know, mm-hmm. I don't own it, mm-hmm. does that mean that it automatically happens for every other reporting agency?
It does not. You do have to prove that the debt doesn't belong to you. Actually, with this particular debt with that collection agency, when I wrote to TransUnion, they investigated and found that the debt did not belong to me, and they took it off immediately. But Equifax and Experian did not. And as many letters as I did write to dispute it, they kept saying, no, the company says it belongs to you. The company says it belongs to you. And it took a long time to really fight it. And I'm saying to myself, well, if TransUnion can prove it that quickly, why is it that the other collection agencies couldn't? You know, I don't know the different procedures that each collection agency has, but you have to get proof. If you don't get proof from the credit reporting agency, you have to get it from the collection agency. Now, normally I don't want to talk to them because they're so nasty, or, you know, I might get nasty. They might provoke me. But I mean, when it gets down to it, you can call them up and say, prove that this debt belongs to me. You have to show me the paperwork. You have to show me what I signed. You have to show me everything. I am not giving you one red cent until you prove that this belongs to me. And if you cannot prove it, then you will have to stop harassing me, or I will be reporting you.
Hmm. Right. Now, let's talk about that. Hmm. What can you do in terms of credit agencies? What power does the consumer have?
I know that the Attorney General's office is one of the things that you can look into for, or rather speak to someone. They actually have someone, especially now with identity theft being, you know, prominent as it is, they have like a unit, I think, that you can just call and report people. Now, of course, you can't report someone that can't be found. There are a lot of different scams that are going on with, you know, the whole, can I send you money orders and you send me the cash? The money's gone.
That's too bad.
Right. And, you know, here you want a sweepstakes, just pay the taxes. Right. The money's gone.
Right.
But if there is a collection agency that is breaking the law when it comes to how they're dealing with you, you can talk to your state attorney general's office, report them, and let them handle it.
Right. And I do understand that there are really strict regulations
mm-hmm.
that are there to protect consumers
mm-hmm.
from the behaviors or bad behavior
yes.
on the part of debt collectors. And for more information about that, actually, I was doing some research, you know, background for the show, and found the Federal Trade Commission,
yes.
The FTC.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people don't really know about the FTC or what the FTC does.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually found it really comforting to go to the FTC's website. They are really consumer friendly.
Mm-hmm.
There are a number of videos that are on the site that I thought are really cute that a person can look at, listen to.
It spells it out for you. It's very easy. I like that. And, of course, because it's available 24 hours a day, you can watch it at any time of the day or night over and over again until you understand. You know, it's not hard to understand, but sometimes you do want to watch it 2, 3, 4 times and take notes and say, you know, this is it. When a debt collector calls you before 8 in the morning and says, listen, I talked to the FTC and they said, you're not supposed to be calling my house before 8 a.m.
That's right.
So they will definitely give you what your rights are. And do not be afraid to use them.
Right. So, and some of the things that they pointed out specifically on that video is that they cannot call you before 8 o'clock.
Right.
They can't call you after, I think it's 9 o'clock in the evening.
Right. They cannot call your job.
Right.
Without, especially your boss's permission. If your boss tells them you have to stop calling here, they will.
And in terms of getting them to stop calling you at home,
mm-hmm.
you can write them a letter
mm-hmm.
so that they will only be able to correspond with you in writing.
Yes, a lot of people definitely don't know that they can't, you know, they're not allowed. Don't hide. You don't necessarily have to hide from a debt collector. Just know your rights and go, you know, take it from there.
And we have folks over in the chat room. If you want to, there's still time. Jump over to the chat room. There is a listener named Scuba Kuda who has been giving out some really fantastic information regarding this subject. And one of the things that he suggested is if you do have debt collectors calling you, you can use Google Voice to record the calls, or you can use some other mechanism. There's lots of options.
That is excellent.
Right. So there are a lot of options for how you can record the calls. And if you have proof that they are using these
negative language.
Exactly, forbidden tactics. I mean, they
mm-hmm.
cannot swear at you.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot threaten you.
Absolutely not.
So if they're using any of these tactics, you certainly have recourse.
Yes.
And you help your case a lot if you can
prove it.
Now,
mm-hmm.
you also, though, have to be sure that you understand the laws of your state
mm-hmm.
about recording calls.
That is very important because You don't want to be caught in a situation where you've actually broken the law trying to make sure that someone else isn't breaking
right.
the law.
And I think generally speaking, you are okay if the debt collector
mm-hmm.
knows. So, you know, they will say things like, this call may be recorded
mm-hmm.
for training purposes or for security purposes, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can say right back to them, well, I'm recording this call
too. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Do I have your permission to record this call?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, if they don't want to be on the call, they hang up and it sounds like you're in the place you want to be.
Right.
Not on the phone with them. But if they decide to continue with the call, of course, you are recording the call, so you
mm-hmm.
now have proof.
I find that they also don't like to speak to a person's representative. I kind of stumbled on that when I was helping a friend with their debt, and I made the call, and I said, listen, this person wants to handle this debt. I am their representative. And they were like, oh, well, no, never mind. Never mind. We just don't want to. And I'm like, I was shocked. I mean, it kind of worked in his favor, but I was shocked. I'm just a representative. I didn't say I was a lawyer. I didn't say I was a judge. I just said that I'm calling because I have power of attorney is what I said over this person's account. And I have proof of it. If I need to fax that over to you, please let me know. And they really just wanted to get rid of it at that point.
Right.
And
they want to get you off the phone, get off the phone.
Yes, yes.
You know, you mentioned something. Of course, you're not an attorney, but there are attorneys who do specifically work with consumer protection.
Mm-hmm.
So if one of you who is listening, if you find yourself in a situation where you're being harassed by debt collectors and,
mm-hmm.
and you don't know what to do, I mean, part of the problem with the situation is that when it starts to happen, a tendency to sort of go into freak out mode.
Uh-huh.
So then is not the time to be researching the resources.
Mm-mm.
That's why I'm suggesting, folks, that you know what your resources and your rights are now.
Mm-hmm.
So that when, if this should happen, I mean, knock on wood, we don't wish it on anybody, but if this kind of thing should happen, you already know what your rights are. You can speak with confidence. You know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can go to an attorney, and for a lot of people, I think that the concern is, well, how am I going to pay for that? Right. You know, why should I pay for an attorney? And you should know that some of the statutes, some of the federal statutes that are there to protect consumers, mm-hmm. also have provisions for the defendant in the case to have to pay
right.
for the lawyer, the lawyer's fees, if they are found to have been violating the law. So if you want to go and talk with an attorney about that, you can ask whether the particular statute that governs the situation that you're in mm-hmm. also provides for attorney's fees. And you right. may find that you actually can have the resources to hire an attorney.
Right, but make sure you're checking all your resources from free to paid resources. I mean, let's face it, things happen. You'll open up a credit card. You'll purchase a car. You'll have a student loan, something, you know, and you normally go along paying for it, and then life happens. You might not be able to pay for it for some reason. You can get into an accident, whatever it is. Some things happen that may prevent you from paying a debt that you owe, and you might not even be able to come back and revisit that debt for years. So when you finally are able to address that debt, no one should have to use fear tactics or threaten you or make you feel afraid to make sure that you're doing the right thing or make sure that you're paying off the debt, whatever it is. So definitely check out FTC, speak to an attorney, speak to they have so many classes now when it comes to cleaning up your credit. And be careful with these people who say, oh, we can take care of your credit for you, you know, in no time. We'll clear your whole credit in 2 months, in 3 weeks, and all of those kinds of things. You first take a look at it. Go learn about it. They actually have classes, free classes, where you can learn how to read your credit report. It's on your credit report, how to read your credit report.
Right.
Once you see that, check how old the debt is. Do you still owe it? If you do, can you negotiate it? Is it still with the company itself? Is it with a credit reporting agency? You know, these things are important to know. If you know these things, then you know the next move to make.
Right. And one of the things that was pointed out on the FTC website, and mm-hmm. again, you can go to the blog, go to my blog, entangledresolutions.blogspot.com, and I have the links up there, and I also have the videos up there, so you don't have to go to the website. You can see the video right on my website. But one of the things that they said is that when you are approached by somebody who says, I can clean up your credit,
mm-hmm.
understand that they can't really, you know, if you owe the debt, you owe the debt.
Right.
You may be able to negotiate with the company about how much to pay, payment plans, or, you know, reducing it. But ultimately, nobody can make your debt just go away.
No.
So that is another source of scams, actually.
It really is, because I have a friend who was looking to, I think, either consolidate the debt to get rid of it or something of that nature. And the company that said that they could clear up her debt for her told her, just stop paying them. The first thing you do is just stop paying them and stop talking to them. And, you know, when she told me that, I was like, well, wait a minute. But you're doing so well, you don't even have a negative report on your credit report about this debt. So why would you stop paying them? They said, oh, don't worry about it. You have to stop paying them for 3 months and then we'll take over from there. And I was like, okay, no, get away from that company. If you've already made the plan and negotiated this with the existing companies, then you are good. You know, some people don't even realize that since you've already made the had the negotiation with the company where you owe the debt and not necessarily with the collection agency, you're fine. Don't make any other moves. Just keep paying down the debt. If at some point you really need to negotiate with them again, then do that. But it doesn't necessarily put a scar on your report because you've already had some issues with your debt with the company itself.
Right, right. And I hear here in the chat room, or read in the chat room, that there are other ways of protecting your identity mm-hmm. and protecting your credit. And so Scuba Cuda has put up a link to identityguard.com. And I'm learning here that Scuba Cuda got this through Costco.
Mm-hmm.
So there are places where you can sign up to have your credit checked on a regular basis, your identity checked mm-hmm. on a regular basis to see if there's any fraud. Now, I'm not endorsing Identity Guard Com. I haven't researched it. I don't know.
I never used it.
I've never used it. but it's a suggestion from someone who I know is really concerned about protecting his identity.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's based on that endorsement, but not necessarily on my personal endorsement.
Mm-hmm.
But the point of the matter is that there are resources. There's a book that you mentioned, right? Talking Dollars and Making Sense.
Yeah, it's a book that I was reading at the time when I was going through all of that. Now, it doesn't necessarily tell you everything about credit reporting, but it's about building wealth.
Okay.
And checking your credit report is part of the process of building wealth.
Okay.
So definitely go to Amazon.com and check out Talking Dollars and Making Sense by Brooke Stevens. I definitely recommend it. I love the book.
Okay. So that's another resource. We are actually coming down to the end of the show.
That was quick.
Doesn't it go fast?
It did.
Just fly by?
And it was fun.
It rocked. Absolutely. I'm going to have you come back.
Okay.
We're definitely going to have to figure out something that we can sit and chat about. But I'm so glad that all of you who are listening chose to listen into the show. I encourage you to share this show with your friends and your family. It is available on demand and will be available on demand soon. You can download it to your MP3 player. When you come onto the website, you go to the icon that's under my picture for iTunes, and you click on that, and it just kind of leads you through the process so that you never have to really think about it. Every week it gets updated so mm-hmm. that you always have the show. I'm going to leave you now with a song, again, from Brandon Ross. It's 12 Gates to the City. It's his composition based on the song 12 Gates to the City from his CD called Costume. But really, before I do that, I have one last announcement. The show is actually not going to air live next week. I'm going on vacation.
Yay!
Yay! So I will miss you. I will miss all of you, and I'll miss being here, but I'm going on vacation. There are a ton of shows that you can listen to. I'll put up on the blog some descriptions so that you can decide what to listen to for next week. I will be joining you the week after. But I'm really happy that you tuned in. I've had a lot of fun here with Cynthia, and I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you see